Let's open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. We began to start a series of lessons on the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. We began that last week. We read the first 14 verses. We won't go back and read them this morning, but if you'll turn there so you can kind of glance through it as we begin to look at the specific blessings that Paul mentions here that are ours because we have been born again, born into the family of God. We are in Christ. We see, first of all, in the opening verse, that Paul declares that his authority as an apostle, as the one who has been chosen to reveal the will of God for this church age, he says that authority comes from God. It's not from man. It's not from him. He didn't choose to be an apostle. The Lord Jesus Christ chose him. And so, if that's true, either Paul is a deceiver, or his ministry and God's blessing and the miracles that he performed through him and the revelation that he gave to him prove that he is who he says he is, or once again, he's a liar. But if he is, if his apostleship is from the Lord, as he declares, then guess what that means? We are to accept his word, his writings, as the revealed will of God for us. That carries a lot of authority, that this is God's word to us. There are those that say, if God would speak to me audibly, I would do his will. I would be a better Christian. Well, that's not true, because if the word of God does not have that kind of authority in your life, it wouldn't matter if God was standing in front of you. You still wouldn't obey. We need to accept this word, the Bible, and Paul's writing that gives us light to understand the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, understand that that authority was given to Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept his teaching as the Word of God for you. We also see that in the New King James Version that we read that he wrote to the saints, those that are set apart from the rest of the world. That's what saints means. It's a separation. That he wrote to the saints at Ephesus. Now, there are some manuscripts that exclude who are in Ephesus. And the reason for that is probably the fact that the letter was first written to the saints at Ephesus. But because it contains such essential, fundamental truths to the church, that same letter was then distributed throughout all of Asia Minor, all of the churches. And so that's why some manuscripts remove that the saints in Ephesus, because it does come down to the saints here at Abundant Grace Fellowship. These are fundamental truths that we need to understand. They're basic truths, but if we don't get and understand these blessings that are ours because we're in Christ, we're going to be confused. We're going to fall short of what God has called us to. And so some would consider these lessons just kind of dry doctrinal lessons. But to me, these are the very scriptures that will revive you again, that will stir you up to understand who you are in Christ and to understand what that hope is, both in this life and in eternity. So Paul, in the opening statement there, he pronounces blessing and grace and peace on the saints, and they come from God. And that peace and joy and grace can only come from our Creator, from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mediator between God and man. Then Paul goes on to praise God for the blessings that every believer has received. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our position before God, how he sees us, is our spiritual position, and we are in Christ. That means that God sees us in his Son, and every blessing that comes through Christ it's ours simply because of our position in Christ. And because of our position, Paul in this chapter is going to say, you also, because of your position in Christ, you have certain possessions. You have access to things that those who are not in Christ do not have. And so we're going to look at those blessings that Paul mentions here. The blessings that Paul writes about in this first chapter, notice that they are not material blessings. They are not physical blessings. They are not earthly blessings at all. And for some people, they get all excited when we talk about material blessings, prosperity, physical blessings, healing. That's the blessings that so many today within Christendom are seeking and desiring, and that's what makes them happy and joyful. But Paul doesn't write about those in this chapter. Now, those blessings are real, and they are certainly something to thank God for, but clearly these are of greater value to God and should be to us because they are eternal. Spiritual blessings have to do with our relationship with God, who is Spirit. These blessings have to do with eternity, not just this life. Now, we begin to benefit from them in this life, but they will last through eternity. God does often bless His people abundantly with material and physical and earthly blessings. And we are to thank God for that. And there's nothing wrong with petitioning God for those needs. But one of the promises He makes concerning those physical earthly needs is that He will supply all your need because you're in Christ. But God does bless us in those ways, but they are temporal because this life is temporary. If we haven't learned anything through this pandemic, life is temporal. You don't know. You don't have promise of tomorrow. Young or old, you don't have promise of tomorrow in this life. But as a child of God, we have the promise, the assurance of eternity. And these blessings that Paul lists here, they'll never end. And we can begin to enjoy them right now. And this is why they are of so much greater value. Recently, and there have just been so many natural disasters, but just the other night, tornadoes again striking and literally in a matter of seconds destroying every earthly possession that people have. Nothing. No house, clothes, furniture, ruined. That's how quickly these things can disappear. But these spiritual blessings, there's not a power that can rob us of these things. Not death, not life, not natural disasters. And this is why we need to come to a place where we understand and value these blessings more than any other blessings. Even if we would lose everything in this life. Now, stop and think about that, because that's kind of a rash statement. If you woke up tomorrow and everything that you had gathered for all of your life was suddenly gone, ultimately, how would you deal with that? Clearly, there's sorrow. Nothing sinful about that. Clearly, there is confusion. What am I going to do? But for a child of God who is anchored in these truths, your faith will ultimately put you on a solid position of saying, you know, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know I am blessed eternally as a child of God, and that I know that He is in control of my life. Faith will bring you to that, but if your expectation of life and God's blessings all have to do with material blessings, physical blessings. When those are gone, so is your joy, so is your peace. But when you're anchored on these things, nothing can move you. That's what the Apostle Paul said when he was facing the very loss of his life. But none of these things move me. He had that understanding of who he was in Christ and that the blessings were for eternity. They go beyond life. They go beyond death. These blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. In other words, these blessings originated from heaven. That's why they're heavenly. And they lead us to heaven. It's all about that eternal state. Blessed us. Past tense. It's already done from past eternity. These blessings, all of those that are in Christ, they're going to have these possessions, these blessings. And they're heavenly, not earthly. This earth will pass away and everything in it. But these are heavenly, from heaven. And they call us to heaven. They cause us to enjoy all the eternal riches of our Creator. They secure us a place in heaven. They secure us an inheritance in heaven. So it doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what your culture is, your economic status, your level of education. If you are in Christ, these are yours. No other religion or theology or philosophy can offer you what the gospel of Jesus Christ offers you. And when you come to put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have these things. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him, again, that's our position, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, you that have put your faith in Jesus, you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In other words, I lack nothing to enter into heaven and to live eternally in the presence of God and enjoy all the riches, eternal riches of God. I lack nothing. God's blessed me abundantly materially in this life. And I thank God for that, for the many earthly possessions that God, in his grace, has given me. But if I could lose it all tomorrow, I rejoice in knowing who I am in Christ. What I possess, eternal life. He's worthy of my eternal praise and thanksgiving. Even in the time of loss and suffering and pain and agony, I can rejoice because I know my destiny is glory according to the promises that I have here. My destiny isn't death. It's not pain. It's not sorrow. It's not loss. It's eternal gain. And that's what thrills my heart. That's what revives me to know that's true when all of my circumstances say otherwise. Oh, no, God has forsaken you. Isn't that what Job's false comforters accused him of? Oh, God's forsaken you because you've messed up. But God had not forsaken Job, and he'll never forsake you. Life at its longest is just a passing vapor. It's the eternal things that thrill my heart. To know that there is life in the presence of the God of all grace, the God of glory, and that future hope. You say, well, that's kind of a, don't you enjoy life? Absolutely. And the reason I enjoy it is because of my eternal perspective. I don't think I could enjoy life if it were not for the understanding that the eternal God is my Father. Some of you know me. I have a little OCD. I have a kind of a worry wart from a child. I don't think I could handle life without my eternal perspective. God has a plan for me that goes beyond this life, goes beyond the grave. It's an eternal plan. And so my life now has direction and perspective in what I do and how I handle things because I know I'm destined for glory. And without that, we're just going to wander aimlessly through life. Paul gives a list here of some of the every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. There's various ways to number these blessings, and different ones have numbered them differently, depending on how you connect ones. But I come up with seven when I study this. Number one, he chose us. We'll look at each one as we have time. We're not going to rush through it, so we'll look at what we can. But the first one is, he chose us. God chose me. That's astonishing. I know me. Why would he choose me? But God chose us. The second one, he predestined us. The third one, he made us accepted. The fourth one, we have redemption because we're in Christ. Number five, he made known to us the mystery of his will. All of these blessings are of great value. Number six, we have obtained an inheritance. And then the seventh one is that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. In these blessings, as we read them last week, we see that the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all working together to cause us to enjoy all of these things, to make them ours. And as we emphasized, as we read it last week, there is no I did this or I accomplished this. It's all according to his purpose, according to his grace, according to his working. This is all God's work that I have these things. If I thought it depended on me to be able to secure these eternal blessings, it would be hopeless. But I rejoice to know that God gave me these things when he gave the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. For me not to have access to these blessings, God would have to die, because these blessings are as eternal as God himself. That's why I can be so bold about my faith, about my eternal position in Christ. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. For some people, that's blasphemy. But the reality is to deny that, those who put their faith in Jesus as their Savior, to deny that we have these things, that's blasphemy. Because God said, I did this. Enjoy it. Rejoice in it. So let's look at the first one. We may not be able to get much further than that this morning. But he chose me. Song that I introduced, I said how deep the Father's love for me when it actually was His love for us. But we do need to make it personal. God chose us, that is, all that are in Christ, the saints that are in Ephesus, the saints that are in Christ. He chose us. He chose me. And when did He do that, according to this passage? Before the world began. So you see, this position, this blessing that I have, doesn't have anything to do with my daily choices. It has to do with God's choice before the world began. God looked down through the corridors of time. This is why He's God, and it makes the mind spin. I can't explain it. I can only believe what God says to be true. But that the eternal God who knows everything He just knows everything. He's omniscient. He doesn't have to experience something to learn it. He knows it. I can't explain that. It's not my experience. But He's omniscient. And He looked down and He saw me and He saw that I would accept His gift of salvation. And from that time in past eternity, He said, Doug is mine. I choose him. I choose to be his father. I choose to make him my son. It's by his own election that he chose me. Not because I was good, but because I'm in Christ. Because I accepted his gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He chose to set me apart from the rest of humanity. This one is different. This one's mine. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. We see that choice is based on His foreknowledge. Some people say that God chooses sovereignly to save some and not others. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does teach God is sovereign. That's true. God can do anything He wants to do. It's His universe. He is sovereign. But He has sovereignly chosen to give each individual the ability to choose. We are created in His image. He chose to do that sovereignly. Adam didn't decide from before existence, you know, I'd like to be created. That's kind of foolish, right? God chose to create Adam, gave Adam the choice, the ability to choose, because He wanted a relationship with His creature, His creation, that was based on love, that was based on understanding. And Adam failed that test. But you and I have the ability to choose Christ or reject Him. But God knows what that choice is going to be. And this is what 1 Peter 1, 2 tells us. Elect, chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God, not the sovereignty of God, but the foreknowledge He knew beforehand of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. God knew what your choice would be concerning Jesus Christ. It was no surprise to Him at all before the foundation of the world. He chose to choose all who choose Christ and to give them these possessions. There's no greater comfort in life. There's no greater peace or joy than to know that the Almighty God, who created everything from nothing, Almighty, that means that there's no power that can overthrow His purposes. We read several times in this chapter 1 of Ephesians, according to His purpose. If He purposes to do something, He's going to do it. Now, you and I, we have good intentions sometimes to purpose things, to plan things, and things come up that we can't control and that are more powerful than our choices, more powerful than our limitations. And so though we have good intentions and purpose, we don't always get it done, do we? With God, there is nothing, there is no one, there is no power that is greater than He is. So when He says, I purpose to do something, when He chooses me, I know it's done. What joy, what peace. He's chosen to love me eternally. One of my favorite passages, Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. Once again, understanding that no matter what life throws at you, even when life is full of adversity, and it often is, every stage of life has its adversity. Children, young people, young adults, middle age, and then as you get older, every stage of life has its issues. Problems, adversities, and they're real, and God doesn't promise to shield us from the realities of the harshness of life. He doesn't promise that, but He does promise that they will never overthrow His purposes for you, His eternal purposes. And that's the anchor that we need to hang on to, or otherwise the circumstances of life, they will overwhelm you. They'll depress you. They'll keep you from being what God wants you to be. But I cling to this promise, Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities nor powers. Now remember, sometimes an angel was able to destroy entire cities, just one or two angels. But even them with all their power, even the fallen angels, the demons, they don't have power to take these things from me. Nor things present, nor things to come. Stop worrying about the future. They can't rob you. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because He chose me. He chose to love me, to care for my eternity. I will never know the wrath of God. I don't fear the wrath of God. It upsets me to upset my Father. Yeah, that does. There's conviction when I fall short of doing the will of my Father, but I'll never fear His wrath. That eternal separation from Him, because He chose to separate me unto Himself. He sees me in Christ. He doesn't look at me and say, there's a sinner. He looks at me and says, there's a saint that my Son purchased with His own blood. Blameless in Christ. Christ took my sins upon Himself and gave me His own righteousness. And now God says, Doug's mine. There's no greater peace. In the midst of your storm, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of loss, in the midst of pain, understand God's chosen you for something greater for eternity. We'll stop there this morning. Take time this week to consider, to read about these seven blessings that are yours because you're in Christ. Let's close this morning with standing on the promises. Let's stand on these promises.